in Christ Jesus, whom we behold not only as the baby in the manger, but as the God-man Savior upon the cross, dear fellow redeemed. Last Sunday we asked you, what would you do if you had not been able to speak for over 3/4 of the year, and then suddenly you got that ability back again? Well, Zacharias used his voice to praise God. The first thing Zacharias said was, "His name is John." In loving obedience to the angel who had told him to name his son John. Then he sang a song of praise, much like Mary did when she spoke with Elizabeth. He sang a song of praise to the Lord. And as Zacharias held his son John in his arms, he realized that he was seeing the fulfillment of God's promise of man's salvation. And so he sang a song of praise, not only to the God who does marvelous acts of the past, but to one who is constantly present. Let us rise and read together the first portion of our sermon text, verses 67 to 73 of Luke chapter 1. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham." The passage, of course, is important. Zacharias says, the house of his servant David, recalling all of God's acts of deliverance 1,000 years earlier and his promises that he gave to David. You remember them, right? David fighting Goliath. David said he was taking on Goliath in the fear of the Lord. The Lord God Jehovah was on his side. And how God gave to David untold number of victories in his battles throughout his lifetime. We can go back even a little further and see God's acts of deliverance. Remember Moses standing on the shore of the Red Sea, trapped. To the west, behind him, the hard-charging Egyptian army. To the north, mountains. To the south, the desert. To the east, the impassable Red Sea. But the Lord visited and redeemed his people by having Moses lift up his arms with a staff, and he split the sea, and they walked safely across on dry ground. We can go back even a little further than that. 80 years earlier, the children of Israel had been living under slavery in Egypt for hundreds of years. Egyptians were persecuting them, in fact, slaughtering their newborn baby boys. And God spared one named Moses, being drawn out from the Nile River, called him to be his leader. And 80 years later, Moses and his brother Aaron came to Pharaoh and said, God says, the Lord God of heaven and earth says, let my people go. And God redeemed and visited his people through 10 plagues. And they were set free from slavery. These mighty acts, these promises of God of the past, several thousand years ago, are not just simply interesting Bible lessons for us, but they have purpose and meaning to our lives today and to our future. As in the case of Israel during Moses' day, as in the case of David, the Lord raised up a horn of salvation. Literally, that means a cornucopia of deliverance. Most of us know what a cornucopia is, right? A horn of plenty. A horn of plenty of blessings and deliverance from our Lord. And so this morning our theme is, here he comes, behold. Behold, our God is constantly present and is coming to visit and redeem his people. Moses said to his people, and it applies to us today, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the salvation, the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. The prophet said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. As Zacharias held this baby in his arms, he realized that all of God's promises are being fulfilled. Because this promise to Zacharias and his elderly wife, as the promise of the forerunner of the Messiah, indicated that every promise of God is yea and amen. When God speaks his word, it is as if it is already done. And God has much more to do than just speak. Zechariah says, he has performed the mercy promised to our fathers. He has remembered his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. The terms are piling up here. He has promised us. He has covenanted with us. He has made an oath with us that we'll be saved. When we are in times of trouble, when we face calamities, dilemmas, situations that make us afraid, the Lord says, hold your tongue. Be still. Be quiet. And behold. Look. See my acts of deliverance. Look upon our God in the person of Jesus Christ, who has come to set us free from all of our enemies. Sin, death, Satan, and hell. And so this morning, with repentant hearts, we look to our ever-present Savior, seeking forgiveness. Let's read together our second portion of our sermon, verses 74 and 75. Zacharias is continuing his song of praise, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Here he comes. Behold. Part two. Behold, we've been saved from and what we are saved for. There are so many contradictory messages at this time of year. The world tells us that the meaning of Christmas, the essence of Christmas, the whole reason for Christmas is world peace. Or they'll say it means showing love and giving and sharing. Or getting back to family customs and togetherness. Or feasting and helping the poor. But the angel who spoke to Joseph and to the shepherds didn't say things like that. The angel told us that the whole meaning and message of Christmas is this. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And for he will save his people from their sins. Zacharias had the Christmas message straight in his heart and in his life. He was to behold. He was to see what he was saved from and what he was saved for. Zacharias proclaimed, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies. So when you hear that word enemy, what do you think of? Well, God, when he talks about enemies, he isn't talking really much about persons or people or nations. He's talking more about things like temptations or Satan, evil angels, our own sinful flesh and a sinful heart. These are the things that try to lead God's people away from him, to try to destroy us spiritually, to try to lead us not only to sin, but into unrepentance and eventually unbelief. Without this knowledge of who our enemies are and what Jesus came to do for us, we can't properly prepare for or celebrate Christmas. Because then Christmas would really be an emptiness in its meaning to us and would last only as long as the season itself does. And that's for most people the way it is. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, maybe the week because they have the week off, and that's it. Once a year. But as you know, we as believers in Christ know that Christmas is throughout the year. The good news of the gift of our Savior, God's great gift to us, is something that we celebrate every day of the year. We've been freed from our enemies, as Zechariah says. We've been redeemed from our sinful hearts, our sinful flesh, Satan, sin, death, and hell. But Zechariah says, not only were we saved from, we're also saved for, that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Righteousness and holiness, of course, are those blessings that Jesus bestows upon us, which are his, given to us alone through faith. And then in faith, we're to put those blessings into practice, into action in our lives. First, by telling people what peace we have in our hearts. The peace that reigns there because of our Savior Jesus. To tell them the good news of salvation and the Christmas message. Then, to live in daily obedience to God's commandments. To serve our Savior even as he served us with his life. And the wonderful thing about this is, the Holy Spirit gives us that power. That ability to live without fear. Without the fear of being condemned by God. Without the fear of damnation. Without the fear of being forsaken by God. Without being coerced to do this. John writes, "There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And we love him because he first loved us." Christ's perfect love for us has redeemed us, brought us back from the fear of death, from the fear of damnation, from the fear of hell, from the fear of our own worries, the fear of tomorrow, or whatever our future might bring to us. For this baby in the manger, as you know, is a Lord of Lords and King of Kings and rules over all of history into eternity. Living in Christ means we never have anything to fear. Never have anything to worry about. Our future is secure in him. He indeed deserves our praise and our service, for in him we need never be afraid. And read together the third portion of this morning's sermon text, verses 76 to 80. Again, Zechariah continues his song of praise, speaking now to his child. "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit,
and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel.
Behold, he comes. Behold, we have not yet seen the end of the mercy that God has for us. Zechariah spoke in the past tense. He said, God has visited and has redeemed his people. For he saw in his son John the beginning of the fulfillment of God's plan of salvation. But behold, we've seen nothing yet. We have not yet seen the end of all the mercy that God has promised us. John, his calling was to go out and prepare the way for the Lord. He was the end of a long line of witnesses, a long line of Old Testament prophets that kept pointing ahead to the Messiah, ahead to the Savior, ahead to the promised one of God. And then John came. Now John could say, behold, I have seen him. Look, there he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. He was the last in a long line of all these prophets to point to Jesus. Well, we're in that line too. Only we're in the New Testament times. And in this world of clamor and noise all about what Christmas is all about. Did you hear the other day there was a school out east that decided to throw in some religious music? So they put in Silent Night, Holy Night. They took sections of each of the verses. So it never mentioned the Virgin or Jesus or the birth. It was just sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. And it was completely empty of any religious connotation at all. Yet the people gave it a round of applause. They probably didn't even know. They missed the whole message. It was just the music. In this, our society, we need to make our voices clear and loud. Christ has come. He has redeemed you and me and all people. He has fulfilled all the promises of the past. He has visited his people in the person of a human being, the God-man, Jesus. But you know, there's even more to our message, because there's more to our blessings. This message is not just for Zechariah's time, not just for our time, but it is for eternity as well. This same Jesus is going to come again, and we will see him face to face. Well, behold, the final result of Christ's mercies and blessings upon us. And that is everlasting bliss in heaven. You know, Christmas is really just the beginning. The message of Good Friday and the cross, Jesus' resurrection. The message of Easter and the tomb, Christ's crucifixion, and then the tomb, Jesus' resurrection. They're yet to be proclaimed in this coming new year. And the final result of our salvation, our resurrection to everlasting life, is yet to be accomplished. And so, may we put this Christmas celebration into proper perspective. Not as just a one-time celebration, as the greatest holiday of the year, and when it's over, it's all over, and wait till next year. But may we look at Christmas as just the beginning. The beginning of many, many, many blessings from our God. God the Father gave us his greatest gift, his Son. But there's so much more yet to come. May this Christmas message shine into our hearts so that we, like John the Baptist, grow strong in the Spirit as we eagerly look forward to and await our Savior's coming and the conclusion of the final result
of our salvation. Amen.
The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our coming Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.